Let's close in prayer. Truly, that is the message this morning. That the fathers be determined to live for the King. When you are determined to live for the King, the home is blessed. Everything will be blessed. You need that passion. You need that conviction. God's blessings to all of the fathers and the fatherly. Someone has said that it doesn't, or you don't need to have children in order for you to be a father. You could be so fatherly in many different ways. Such is the case in our text this morning. Would you please turn your Bibles back to our text this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 to 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, 6 to 12. We will see the fatherly ministry of Apostle Paul. This may not be a common Father's Day text, but it does present a great exhortations and biblical principles concerning fatherhood. My prayer is that it will bring encouragement and fresh challenge to those of you who are fathers and have fatherly ministry. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that today you have given us a wonderful opportunity not only to learn from your word, but to have great conviction from your word, that we may be able to have this word part of our lives, that may it transform us as your children, especially to the fathers in our church and those who will be fathered soon. There are some of that in our membership. May you grant enabling power to your servant that he may be able to speak for you, that he may do it clearly and effectively. In Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletin, it says, a good father expresses love and self naturally. First of all, I'd like to share with you statistics that I just gotten from the recent pastoral conference just last week. It was given to us by the Promise Keepers. They were saying that one of the greatest social problems in Canada and in North America and all over the world is the sad reality of fatherless. They were saying that in Canada, there are over 1 million single parents or single families. And 81% of these families were led by women or single mothers. They were saying that 6 out of 10 youth suicides are coming from fatherless home. That is very high. They were saying that 7 out of 10 youths in operated institutions come from fatherless homes, those who are in the institutes. They were saying that 7 out of 10 youths who drop out of school are coming from fatherless home. They were saying that 8.5 out of 10 of all children who show behavior disorders are coming from fatherless homes. And they were saying that 9 out of 10 of all homeless and runaway children are coming from fatherless homes. Now we see that fathers are very important in the family and in the society. Take a look at verses 6 to 8, where it says, "And as apostle of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." One of the many biblical principles that is implied in these three verses and this instructive illustration is that fathers should exercise his role with gentleness. With gentleness. Now, contextually, the word gentle on verse 6 is that Apostle Paul exercises a parental and it was a voluntary kindness. He voluntarily exhibited kindness as he treated the believers in Thessalonica as his spiritual children. Apostle Paul used his authority with all gentleness and in the love of the Lord. The intention was for him to provide care like that of a mother who is nurturing her child, which takes what? It takes time, it takes patience, it takes energy, it takes a lot of prayer, it takes a lot of sacrifices. In other words, giving love to the highest possible, to the deepest possible. That's why it says on verse 8, we love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but also our lives, because you are so dear to us. Because we love you. Apostle Paul was trying to say that it is hard for me to find the right words to say, but in essence, we love you. I think that is it's an important character trait for fathers. Because expressing love doesn't come easy to a lot of men. Just to say, I love you to your child or to your children, especially to those who are in their teenage years and university students. How much, Father, do you say I love you to your children? When was the last time you say I love you to your university student? I mean, they may be old now, but they still like to hear the word, I love you. Picture this by using your consecrated imagination. Dad is coming into a room where his teenage daughter was sitting on the couch watching television and eating popcorn. So he decided to sit down next to her and help himself eating the popcorn. As he was sitting there, a little thought of yesterday came to his mind. He was remembering, when the daughter was young, I held her in my arms and loved her and saying, I love you, baby. And it was wonderful. Now look at her. She's all grown up. 21 years old. 18 years old. Such beautiful girl. I wonder what she would think if I held her like I used to be and I would tell her that I love her. He finally concluded that it would be uncomfortable if he did that. And while he's thinking that, his daughter is thinking, I wonder why Dad don't say I love you and never hug me anymore. Isn't it sad that this is happening in many homes? Even this morning, on a given Father's Day, there are those who don't even say, I love you, Dad. Thank you for being Dad to me. And sadly, we have arrived in this culture and time that there is so much problems and perversion that Dad is not even sure how to express love anymore because it's not allowed anymore. There is the law in the land. They're even redefining the meaning of family. So I say, Father, take time and make time for your family. Take time to laugh. Father, when was the last time you have experienced laughter with your children? That you were exchanging wholesome jokes? When was the last time? When was the last time you played together? When was the last time you learned together? When was the last time you prayed together? When was the last time? That is the question today. When was the last time? If you are doing it every day, good for you. But if you have not been doing it, it is time for you to change that. Number 2 in our bulletin, on verse 9. A good father should exert good work ethics. It says, surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. So twice, verse 6 and verse 9, Apostle Paul reiterated that although he has every right to demand financial support from the believers in Thessalonica, but he chose not to be a burden. He worked night and day to provide for his needs. In addition, he says he doesn't want to appear to be preaching for the money or in exchange for the money. The Bible tells us that Apostle Paul was a tent maker. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 18, chapter 24, and even in 1 Corinthians. We see that he was a working man. And at that point in time, if you were a tent maker, you would be working from sunset or sunrise to sunset. It's like good 12 hours. Fathers, we should be having good work ethics in general. We must be a hard worker to support our family. To the best way, or to the best possibility. Now, fathers, your work is not only work for the provision of your home. Your work also includes your house chores. And one of the most important part of good work ethics at home is not only how hard you do the work at home. The other side of that is to teach your children how to do likewise. That is part of good work ethics. Not that you are doing it great, but you have to make your children do likewise. It can be done in at least 3 ways. You are to teach by example. You're going to do it by letting them see what you are doing. And then you're going to do it together. You guide them and you do it together. You work together. And then finally, you let your children do the work. The problem is that in many homes today, there are fathers who would end up doing all the work. His children are much taller and bigger and stronger, but they are sleeping most of the time. Winter time, there is so much snow, and the children are just there, doing nothing. Now, the other extreme is that the father don't do work at home. When he comes home, he gets the sleeper and the flicker, you know. Channel 24 first, and then the news, and then the sports. And then also, sometimes, although fathers allow their children to do the work, but when they make mistake, they are fired right away. Those are the extremes, and those are the wrong thing to do as fathers. Let them make a mistake. After all, you make mistake too. We must develop good working habits, fathers, in order for us to make a difference. Now, number 3 in your bulletin, a godly father exemplifies life worthy of God. Verse 10 to 12. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless We were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and for his glory. Finally, and certainly not the least, in fact, it should be top of the list, that father should lead by example his good relationship with God. Amen, Father? I don't know about that. Well, fathers, you are the spiritual leaders at home. Whether you like it or not, you are it. Not only you are the leader in general, but most of all, you are a spiritual leader at home. A good father, a spiritual father, must show himself and his family must witness how intentional he is in his spiritual walk with God. His family should see him, how hard he spent time with God in learning the Bible, in prayer, in sharing the gospel, and as well as in discipleship. That is the balance. It's got to be balance. Someone has said that the father's immediate disciple is his wife. Because his wife knows everything what you do as a father. She picks up the right things and the wrong things. And in addition to that, father, your immediate mission field is your children. There is nothing wrong if your children come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to someone. But your primary duty as a spiritual leader at home, as a Christian father, is to share the gospel to your children. Although statistics tells us that most children, they come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at home, not to the fathers, but through their mothers. Most of them. I'm not saying all of them. And that is true. Now, in your homes, you check out, how did your sons and daughters come to the saving knowledge? Is it through you, father, or through you, mother? You'll know. Apostle Paul leaves no space for the believers in Thessalonica to accuse him for not conducting a holy life, a righteous life, and a blameless life. Because it's very important to be effective in the ministry. Now, the word being devoted to God in his calling, or the word holy, okay, in this particular text, is righteousness. It refers to your being upright, your integrity, that your talk is your walk, whether it is at home, not for the show when you are outside outside your home. Your good report should be before men first. And then, no, that's wrong. Your good report should be before God first. And then before men. If you're good before God, more than likely, and very high likely, you're good with men. But if you're good with men, you could be faking it. God sees the heart. Now, verse 12, it says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. And then we see the word encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Fathers should be a source of encouragement at home. As we all know, that children could easily be discouraged. You know, your words, your actions that you give to your children could either make them or break them. The word encourage in our text means to come alongside with helpful instruction and insight. You know, sometimes there should be time for rebuke and correction. But it must be done properly. Otherwise, you will have rebellious children. Or they may follow you. They're just following you because you are the Father. But deep inside, they're not really following you. The second word is comforting. It is close to the word encouraging. But it is more than cheering up. It is more than that. It is another way of helping your children the awareness to do better and to help them to bounce back when they fall. Now, there is also the word exhortation, to urge to live lives worthy of God. You know, this word is strong, and this could refer to discipline. Sometimes there should be discipline at home when necessary. You cannot be disciplining all the time, but you need, discipline has its place. Otherwise, what you will have are what? Children who are spoiled. Spoiled brat. Well, you will reap when they grow old. Spoiled children will give you problem. It looks like it comes when they become from teenager onward. You will know, and it's a sad sight when there is a spoiled brat at home. They get what they want. And then in the end, when they cannot get any more what they want, they'll just get out, do their own thing. Sad sight. We are to live lives worthy of God. This means to live consistent. This means that your doctrine and your daily walk are in agreement. These things will help you as an effective father at home and influential father at that. And the ultimate goal of every father is not only the things that I have mentioned to you. The ultimate goal is the end part of verse 12. Biblical fatherhood ultimate goal is to glorify God. That's how it ends in our text. That is to glorify God. In closing, I'd like to leave an invitation, both to fathers and to children. Remember the story of the prodigal son? It comes to my mind. When Jesus Christ was teaching about the Father as someone who always leaves his door open for his children. Now, there may be someone in the congregation who is struggling as a father, who is struggling as a son or daughter, that you have failed, that you are having bad relationship with your father or with your family. Today is the day for you. God is letting you know that today is the day that you come to Him and make amendment. God is only a prayer away. And He said that He will help you. In addition to this, our text serves as a guide in biblical parenthood or fatherhood. And may it give an encouragement, especially to those who are fathers-to-be, as we have some in the congregation, and new fathers, that you need to be faithful to God, that you must have good work ethics, that you must be able to exercise and say your love to your children and your wife accordingly, that you should live a life that is worthy of God, that you should live a life that your doctrine and daily life is all in agreement. But for those of you who have no father anymore, there is also a beautiful promise for you. In Psalm number 10, verse 4, "But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted, You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Thank God, because we have the Heavenly Father who is the helper of the fatherless. You will never be alone. If there's no physical father at home, there is the Heavenly Father who could love you even more. And I hope that our consideration this morning will encourage you fathers to be godly, realizing your calling to be the spiritual leader and leader at home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us biblical principles from your word. And I pray that you would continue to bless the fathers in our church to be firm and strong in their faith and would set up a good example to his family and will have a good name before you and before men so that they will be able to have a good influence to others. We know, Father, that it is never easy, but it can be done with your help. Thank you. Thank you so much all these years. You've been our helper. You are our Heavenly Father. And I pray, especially to those in our congregation who don't have fathers at home, I pray that they will find comfort and encouragement from you, our Heavenly Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.